Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
You're listening to Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a podcast about Linux, open source and amateur radio for everyone. Now here are your hosts, Russ, K5TUX, Cheryl, W5MOO, and Bill, NE4RD.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to episode number 226 of Linux in the Ham Shack. This is our pre-Hamvention episode because Hamvention's on Friday. Yeah, it's coming up real soon now. I'm Russ, K5TUX.
I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD.
All right, very good. So yes, Hamvention is coming up on Friday, a mere 4 days away, not even 4 days away at this point. We'll talk a little bit more about that at the very end of the show, but we're going to probably keep this one short, sweet, and to the point. Because all of us are doing a lot of prep work to get ready to go to Hamvention. Bill is actually leaving in the morning. Woo-hoo. And we are leaving the day after. So we do hope we can catch up with everybody. And like I said, we'll talk more about that in a bit. But let's move on to our amateur radio topics for the evening on the most terrific podcast on the internet. And the first one is about the Amateur Radio Parody Act. The language has been inserted into the National Defense Authorization Act. The ARRL is praising the work of United States Representatives Joe Courtney, Democrat from Connecticut, Vicky Hartzler, Republican from right here in Missouri, and Mike Rogers, Republican from Alabama, for their successful efforts in securing language in the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2019 that aids in the survival and growth of amateur radio by giving radio amateurs the right to install an outdoor antenna at their residences with the approval of their HOA. I thought that was the whole purpose of it, though. I mean, aren't the HOAs the ones that
are, yeah, being jerks about it?
Yeah, pretty much. The language text from the proposed Amateur Radio Parody Act, HR 555, formed the basis for the Courtney Hartzler Rogers Deuteronomy Amendment to the NDAA. And that actually came from the ARRL itself. And a link, of course, will be in the show notes. So it's become a thing. But if they're still required to request HOA approval, it sounds like the same old, same old.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Who knows?
Yeah.
All right. So
we'll see if it'll grow some legs in this bill.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at least it hasn't died yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Has not.
All right, so Bill, I guess you can handle the next one, and then we'll let Cheryl do the one after that.
That sounds good. Google adds Morse code support to Gboard. So this is my almost amateur radio topic. I just thought it was pretty cool. So from the article, Google is adding a Morse code input to its mobile keyboard. It'll be available as a beta on Android later today. So this was several days ago here, like the 8th. So it should definitely be available as a beta. The company announced that the new feature at Google I/O after showing a video of Tanya Finlayson. she has been having a hard time communicating with other people due to her condition. She found a great way to write sentences and talk to people using Morse code. Her husband developed a custom device that analyzes her head movements and transcodes them into Morse code. When she triggers the left button, it adds a short signal, and while the right button triggers a long signal. So you got your dots and your dashes. Her device then converts the text into speech. And this was a story over on TechCrunch, and it looks pretty cool. I have not loaded it on my Android phone yet, but it does look pretty cool to actually to try.
That'd be interesting. It seems like since texting is already like time consuming and pointless, that's going to make it even worse. But of course, some people are really, really good at Morse code, and some people are even better at texting. I don't know how people text as fast as they do sometimes, but yeah. All right, so if you want to spend more time with Morse code, this might be a good way to get some practice. At least you can send and receive using Gboard, the keyboard for your Google phone. All right. So, Cheryl, you can talk to us about something we've been talking about a little bit of late, satellites.
All righty, then. Yeah, three CubeSats with amateur radio payloads are deployed from the ISS. This is a great opportunity to use your newly minted or highly refined skills of using GPredict to track these new satellites. And this information is from the ARRL. The Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, JAXA, has announced that three CubeSats carrying amateur radio payloads, including one with a VU linear transponder, deployed from the International Space Station on May 11th, around 10:30 UTC, Arazu, Costa Rica, and one Coons-PF Kenya, will carry beacon telemetry in the 70-centimeter amateur radio band, while UBAKU-SAT, Turkey, carries an amateur radio linear transponder for SSB and CW, in addition to CW and telemetry beacons. Arazu is a 1U CubeSat developed by students at the Costa Rica Institute of Technology with a telemetry beacon at 436.500 MHz. 1KUNSPF is a 3U CubeSat developed by students at the University of Nairobi with a telemetry beacon 9.5 kbps at 437.300 MHz. And the UBAKU-SAT, a 3U CubeSat developed by students at the Istanbul Technical University, has a CW beacon at 437.225 and a telemetry beacon at 437.325. The linear transponder downlink is 435.200 to 435.250. The uplink is 145.940 to 145.990. Thanks to Masa Arai at JN1GKZ via AMSAT UK.
I'm surprised you read through all of that.
Yeah, well.
I kind of set you up for that one. Yeah.
There's all the information. So.
Yeah, basically as a great opportunity to put in some manual TLEs into your GPredict settings, because obviously these won't have released TLEs at the moment. So, go ahead and get on the website there and download the initial TLEs and start tracking these birds.
Yep. And as you said, in the original part of the article, you can use your newly minted GPredict skills to put those TLE bits in there. And then you can set up your rotor, too. Go build a rotor from the SatNOG site.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so that's our amateur radio stuff for tonight. So we're going to move on to some open source. And the first thing in the open source world is the name of the new Ubuntu release coming up in October, which is going to be Cosmic Cuttlefish. Shuttleworth revealed in his blog the latest release name. He said, "It's time to turn our attention to the road ahead to 2004 LTS. And I'm delighted to say that we'll kick off that journey with the Cosmic Cuttlefish, soon to be known as Ubuntu 18.10. He continued, "If I had one big thing that I could feel great about doing systematically for everyone who uses Ubuntu, it would be improving their confidence in the security of their systems and their data. It's one of the very few truly unifying themes that crosses every use case. And further, security is the one thing that every community wants, and it's something that, on reflection, we can raise the bar even higher on." So there we go. Apparently, we'll have a highly secure LTS when it comes out, and maybe even in 18.10.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're all looking forward to Ubuntu. And speaking of Ubuntu, there's going to be a special version of Ubuntu coming up at Hamvention this year. And the next couple of stories are all on Bill, because he's the one who's been working on this. So we'll let you do the honors, I guess.
Yeah. I just wanted to quickly go over. We'll be using the Ubuntu 18.04 LTS version, Mate edition. So I chose the Mate edition because it's fast and responsive UI. It also has a fairly lower memory footprint when it runs by itself. You know, we're not talking your Google Chrome with 5,000 tabs open and your, 10 Electron apps like, Slack and Rocket Chat and everything else running. But I've had it running here for quite some time. I built the image that we're, donning, LHS version 1, with, Cubic. It's a, little utility to build, Ubuntu, installers and, live disks from existing live disks. So basically I downloaded the latest, the release versions of the LTS and added all the packages and made it back into a live boot disk and installed it. So I've been running it here for probably about 2 or 3 weeks. Basically, the day, I think it was the day after it was released. And I've been running it here on my Asus laptop as a daily driver. And I have to say, it's really great. I mean, it's been running really fast. And of course, you know, I have all the ham radio software on here. I don't really use it on this particular box because I have a different box that's actually hooked up to all the radios and stuff like that. That is actually still running 1710. I have not upgraded that one, but I will will shortly. But yeah, it's been running great. I did notice a few bugs that happened to me, and it might be just my particular case. I had the battery indicator disappear for a little bit, and that came back like a couple days later with a notifiers update. So it was possibly some kind of bug.
This was on vacation. And I think it was down in Cancun for a while you were.
Yeah, it was taking time off. Yeah. And the second one, which I still have, and I'm not sure that everyone will see this particular issue, is I have two Wi-Fi indicators. So that's the only thing that's like cosmetically wrong with the build right now. And I'm sure that will eventually get fixed as well. I think this issue has like appeared and reappeared and disappeared over the last few versions. You know, I think even Debian experiences this occasionally as well. So we'll see if that goes away. But other than that, everything else has been running great. Have not seen a crash or any particular piece of software take a nosedive. So it's pretty solid. I didn't put Budgie on here because I wanted to go ahead and try the one that we're going to bring to Hamvention. So this will be the actual image that we're bringing to Hamvention on the DVDs. So if you want to try this out from DVD, those will be available for your donation. And we'll also have other ISO images that we could load on, I guess, on your flash drive if you bring a flash drive, or if you want to donate for one of our flash drives. How many we got left? Like what, six or seven?
I think.
Six flash drives, but we'll be more than happy to load it on your flash drive. No cost, no nothing, you know, just swing on by the booth and we'll load it on there. I also have builds for Budgie with all the ham radio stuff on it, the ham radio pure blend and everything else. I have Lubuntu. I have Xubuntu, which is the XFCE desktop. We also have the Budgie. The only one I didn't build is the just baseline Ubuntu, but I'll probably go ahead and build that, and so I'll have that available as well. Should you want to try that, or if you just want all the ISOs dropped on your disk, you can do that. That's about all I can say about it. I mean, it's really a solid platform. I'm pretty pleased with the speed of 1804. It seems like a pretty solid build, you know, minus the couple of cosmetic things that I see on my particular system. But like I say, it's very cosmetic. It has not affected the performance at all. So most people probably wouldn't even notice it.
Yep. And the netbooks that we use for our display purposes at the booth, we had Linux Mint on them from many, many moons ago. But I upgraded to the LHS V1 of Ubuntu 1804 on those, and we'll be showing that off. And it works really well. And this is on probably close to 10-year-old triple EPC netbooks.
We bought them in 2005.
Yeah.
Four.
So even longer. Yeah. Yep. And it works great on there too. So
yeah, right at the edge of the lifespan here.
Yep. And it does have to be i386 on these, because they do have non 64-bit processors in that. And we do have i386 and 64-bit builds of all the distribution, or not all of them, but the main Ubuntu Budgie and the main Ubuntu Mate that we're bringing will have 386 versions of those as well if you need it.
Yeah, we will have, I think we have a sleeve of the 386 ones on disk.
Yes.
So we do have one sleeve of those. So if your system's really, really old, so we're talking 13, 14 years old, you may need the 386 version, but I'm thinking that most hardware is probably going to be a decade old or slightly newer at this point, because I know you can buy i5s and stuff like that off eBay for whole systems for less than $200. So I see no reason why people would be still having Core 2s, or, you know, prior to Core 2 Duos, basically would be your pre 64-bit availabilities. So we'll also have that done. So don't worry about it. We'll have it there, and it's also available for download, of course. At no charge. You can just download it. No big deal.
Yep. And at some point I'm going to put torrents of these up on my server, so you can download them via BitTorrent.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I was thinking about that too today. So great. So that's all I had for the open source portion of it. But I'm also going to talk about, in our Linux and the Ham Shack segment, my Odroid.
All right. Well, no pausing necessary. Go right into it.
Yeah, I'm just going to go right into it. So I was like, I have this this Odroid XU4, which is a fairly stout little Odroid. It's I forget. It's like an 8-core ARM processor with 2 gigs of RAM. And so I loaded up the 1804 Mate Edition 4 Odroid, well, basically ARM, just to see if I could get it running and what it would take to get it, into the LHS V1 edition. And I had quite a bit of luck. I got the image built, booted fine the first time and expanded itself to the whole, I had a 64 gig card in it. So I went ahead and took all that space and rebooted back and it came up fine. I added the PPAs, and fortunately there are ARM builds in there, but I did run into a few little issues here and there with it. Obviously it's not quite as fast, but it was able to run just about everything. The WSJTX build in the next repo is, it does not run. And this appears to be some issue between either Mesa, the OpenGL library for X, or the Qt integration with that. So they have their own like libqtgl or whatever the heck it's called. So I get an error that is already reported and stuff like that. And this is a common error that they tend to see on these Qt builds that are using the GL libraries, the OpenGL libraries. I'm fairly certain that those will probably be fixed in probably the short order. But it did run, and I'm actually bringing that to Hamvention as well. So if anybody wants to see that boot up on the big screen, I'll have that available so they can kind of see what the difference it looks like when it's on ARM and what kind of speed it has. It's not bad. I was expecting a lot worse. It does start cringing a little bit when you open up Chromium on there and start loading some apps that are stealing some memory. But if you're running a single app, maybe one or two different apps, not with such a big memory footprint like Chromium or Google Chrome or something like that, it runs great. So it could definitely be a little small box solution for doing your shack computing. So I'll bring that along, and I in the show notes we link the build is out there. I didn't actually build an ARM build for us to distribute as an ISO, just because it's not really an ISO. It's an image file, and I'm not really certain quite how to do all of that yet. So we'll save that for a later date when it gets a little bit more polish down the road here.
All right, very good. I'm looking forward to seeing that. We will have a display TV in the back this year for the first time, and it'll be a nice, good size one. So we'll be able to really show off some stuff that we haven't had a chance to do in the past. And we might just be using that Odroid to run our slideshow and web browsing and stuff like that. So
yeah, it's a good little box though. It's pretty cool.
And it's small. That's the important thing.
Yep, small.
All right, so that's really the end of our hot topics for tonight. We just wanted to keep this short and moving along because, like I said, we're all really, really busy over the next few hours for Bill and a day and a half for us. So I guess we'll just jump back to the chat room and see who all is hanging around for our show tonight. And we have in there Cubicle Nate. We have Paul, K5WMA, Ted, WA0EIR, Don, KC9ZMY, Dave, KB0OWD, and other Don, KB2YSI, and big thanks to Don, KB2YSI, for burning our media for us. That saved us so much time. I can't even imagine having to have tried to do that. It didn't take as long as we thought it was going to take to print them, so it wound up taking us about, I don't know, 5 or 6 hours, something along those lines.
Yeah, not too bad.
So, but they're all done, ready to go. We're sort of packed up and.
Yeah, nowhere close.
Yeah, we'll be out.
Cheryl is still trying to study for her test.
Yep, and there's that too.
Yeah. You get 10-hour drive for that.
Well, yeah, I have now decided at this point, because I really have not cracked open the book. This weekend has been, I've been baking, graduation cakes. My brother was here. Russ's brother was here last week. So basically, I decided to sit down last night with the book and start making notes. And that's, I'm about halfway through the book, 10 pages of notes. It's a 90 page book. So I think I'm doing pretty good.
Why don't you just use the book as notes?
Because there's a lot of fluff in the book that it's filler.
So what did you think about that? That's Dan's book, right? KB6 NU's.
Yeah, KB6 NU's book. Yeah. Yep.
So what did you think about it real quick?
The book is great. Yeah. It's very concise. It's a 90 or 91 page book. Really, you know, packed full of information, concise. The answers are in boldface type, and it tells you, you know, what test that answer is from.
Oh, okay.
Which, not that that is going to really help you much, but there's also explanations in some of the paragraphs about, and the reason why this happens is.
Yeah.
And right now at this point, I just need some answers. So, you know, that's the notes that I've been making. So.
Oh, cool. Hopefully we have another success story for Dan there. So,
well, yeah, hopefully. Yep.
Yeah. So check out his, the no nonsense study guides from KB6NU.
Yep. And Don in the chat room says he used the KB6NU guide for the extra test to pass his. Cool. So there you go.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So, you know, Russ bought me the copy off of Amazon, which I think was like $15 or something.
I don't remember.
And then I was donated the PDF copy.
Awesome.
So, yep. So,
well, you know, you should bring that book with you, which I know you are.
Oh, yeah.
And
you should
have Dan sign it while we were at the Hamvention.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I should.
Because he will definitely be there. And he owes us a visit to the booth. Last time he kind of walked around and didn't say hi, but he did say hi at Twitter afterwards when I said, hey, how come you didn't stop?
Yeah, why didn't you stop?
Yeah. So, definitely bring it and have Dan give it.
I definitely will.
His John Hancock there.
Cool.
All right. So we want to say a couple of things about Hamvention before we go. The first is that before Hamvention on Wednesday night, May 16th, I think I put 17th somewhere and I fixed it. But if I did, it's May 16th. it is Wednesday at 7 p.m. in Mooresville, Indiana. We will be at Zydeco's restaurant where K9 KJN has his place out there. It's just southwest of Indianapolis. We'll be there starting at 7. We hope a bunch of people can swing through and join us and kind of party for a couple of hours before they close, and have a little pre-party before Hamvention. And Hutch did say that any licensed amateurs would get 10% off their bill if they're there for the eyeball QSO party, we're calling it. So yes. There's a thing on Facebook, you can find it.
And he also wanted people to bring in QSL cards.
QSL cards, yes. Remember to bring your QSL cards. So, all right. And then there's Hamvention itself. Our Hamvention GoFundMe campaign officially went over the top yesterday. Woo-hoo! So we are now fully funded and actually overfunded by $20. So.
Yay!
That's outstanding.
Yes. So we want to say big, 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 big thanks to everybody who contributed to that. So that made life a lot easier for us. And I've got a slideshow that we're going to be running at the show, and everybody who contributed is going to have nice big shout out at the booth. So except for those people who decided to remain anonymous, there were three of those. So we won't give those away, but everybody else, you can glow and bask in our love.
Yes.
So and then of course we'll see everybody straight up 9 o'clock a.m. on Friday morning. So we're looking forward to that. And so since Hamvention is coming up, we don't really need to keep talking about it. So I guess we'll do our social media roundup and then we'll go away.
All right. Sounds good. So this time for our Patreons, we have John Spriggs, Steve Sainer, Donald Gever, Robert Pitts, Paul Griffith, Jonas Rulo, John Zaruba Jr., Samuel Vimes, Steve Metcalf, Chris Beggio, Darren King, and Nate Wolf. For subscriptions, we have Michael Jopling, Steve Nichols, Todd Bowers, Thor Wiegman, Stephen Harp, Charlie Brown, Kevin Murray, Wayne Carpenter, Steve Hepler, Doug Renner, Bill Piotr, Dylan Engel, Alan Wilson, John Clark, Michael Aiello, Robert Halliday, Brian Smith, Johnny Kinsey, Ronald Ikey, Robert Yerke, Michael Connolly, and Jeremy Hall. Facebook, we have Paul Trujillo, Robert Kane, John Lawrence, and Eric Venande. I'm guessing that's how that's pronounced. For Google Plus, we have William Heckelman, Shane Albrecht, Matt Goodall, and J.K. For Twitter, we have at JBH2916, at MRALC, at Pandora FMS, at AA7US underscore John, at K5ZAK, at MoBios, at 1985XFRT, at IZ20AV, at MohammedDelanato8, and at Jace3GT, on YouTube at CHealing1117, at PLDN Mayor, Andrew Roan, Richard Mask, and Bob Wood. Steve Hepler joined our mailing list, and Nate Wolf bought something from us in our merchandise.
Yep. Nate Wolf is Cubicle Nate. He's the one who hangs out in the chat room all the time. He has not got his ticket yet, but he's going for it. So apparently thanks to us. And he is running a sort of pre-release copy of the LHS V1 Ubuntu. He says it's excellent. So
cool.
So well done, Bill. We now have something we can call our own.
Yay. Yeah.
Special quick shout out to Steve Hepler, who's a brand new subscriber, and also to Nate for becoming our latest Patreon. So there you go.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you to everybody. Everybody gets thanks.
Yay.
So, all right. Well, that I think is it. So we are going to wind this episode down. It's been 226 of Linux in the Ham Shack. We'll see everybody in Xenia, Ohio, very, very soon, and hopefully in Mooresville, Indiana, a couple of days before that. So everyone have a great night, and we'll catch you there. I'm Russ, K5TUX.
I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD73.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a community-sponsored podcast. Our website is located at lhspodcast.info. You can support the program by visiting the LHS Patreon page of patreon.com/LHSpodcast or using the contribute link on the website. Get in touch via social media. The show has a presence on Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Discord, and YouTube. Or you can drop an email to info@lhspodcast.info or record a voicemail at 1-909-LHS-SHOW. That's 1-909-547-7469. Visit the IRC channel, LHS Podcast, on the Freenode IRC network. Also visit the online merchandise store at shop.lhspodcast.info for fun and fashionable LHS merchandise. Become an ambassador and represent LHS at a Linux convention or hamfest. Email ambassadors@lhspodcast.info or visit the website for details. The podcast is recorded live every Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Connect to the stream at stream.blacksparrowmedia.net:8008/LHS Live. Until next time, over and out. Linux in the Ham Shack and the Linux in the Ham Shack logo are released under a Creative Commons Attribute Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License.